Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And would you look at that? Not only a new show here on the Early Line, a new clock. We're back for hour number two of three. I am Ben Stevens. He is Donnie Wrightside. Welcome to the newly revamped The Early Line, live right here on Sports Grid. DRS remains. Donnie Wrightside continues to pace this show on TEL. I am humbled and proud to be here as well. I am Ben Stevens. If you miss Kevin Walsh, do not worry. You will see him later, 6 p.m. Eastern, the new host of Game Time Decisions. Gabe Morenci not going anywhere either. He will be on Sports Rage Late Night, just moving later in prime time, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. DRS, a new era on the Early Line. I am glad to be a part of it with you, my friend.
Absolutely love it. And by the way, how come the fancy commercial for OK-Dub, but nothing for us or Gabe? Right? I mean, what's going on around these streets? Answer me that.
That's a good question.
What happened?
It's a good
question. Is he the superstar now?
The question has to be asked. Why does old K-Dubs demand a new promo commercial? And DRS and I are out here like jump changes because we have to get up earlier, DRS. If anything, I think that should be rewarded.
But by the way, also, like, I see him typing on the key. Like, what was he actually typing in? Was that fake or was he sending a message to somebody at that point? I mean, there are questions that need to be answered.
DRS, he was locking in his final bets as the lines change on Game Time Decision up to the minute. It's a national pregame show, if you will, each and every night. You know, DRS, one of our associate producers here on this show, Joe Friso, the main producer of Game Time Decisions, he's doing double duty, burning the candle at both ends. A DRS would be proud of that.
I guess he would, too. And also, Frieza, I mean, is the guy back there in the, saying, you know what, can we have an extra meeting before we go live today for an extra hour? I mean, if you knock it off, Frieza, tell him. You don't need it. Just let it rip. Let's go. We'll have some fun.
A great team here on the Early Line. Joe Friso, John Shames, our main producer here in the fold as well. Matt Malam coordinating everything from a technical perspective, and our graphics producer, Steve Sadovoy and Jesse Metzger. By the way, Jesse Metzger here, he was the longest tenured employee on The Morning After. We're glad to have him as a member of the Early Line. All those beautiful graphics that you see, courtesy of both Steve and Jesse. All right, DRS. Normally our tennis guy is Joe Friso, but apparently that's you more than four decades ago knocking off Andre Agassi to appear in a United States Open. As we focus on the 2023 U.S. Open, significant quarterfinal matches today at Arthur Ashe. 2 p.m. Eastern time, DRS. Novak Djokovic, the odds-on favorite to win the men's title, is a minus 850 outright favorite now against Taylor Fritz. Fritz, Tiafo, and Shelton, DRS, three Americans playing in the quarterfinal action on this Tuesday in the 2023 U.S. Open. The U.S. men in the U.S. Open, it's got a pretty good ring to it.
It does have a good ring to it. And also, look, Djokovic is a worldwide superstar, and people just, you know, are going to cheer for him one way or another. But I've got to say, do we have home court advantage here in New York City for Taylor Fritz in this one? A plus 530 price. And also, is the crowd going to be split between Tiafo and Shelton here as two Americans get down to business here? This is a big-time thing to try to watch, because the one thing we do know, look, crowds are exciting at major championships anywhere across, but there's something about a New York City crowd that really gets after it. It'll be fun, because if Fritz can start to put Djokovic here behind maybe a set or two, that would be fantastic to watch it play out and see how the crowd responds to a bet.
And then you could look at some live odds, because the value right now in Novak at minus 850, probably not there. If you want minus 110 to win the final right now, that might be where you look, because it still seems, DRS, based on the draw, we are anticipating a rematch between the veteran Novak Djokovic and the young superstar in Carlos Alcaraz, the 20-year-old sensation, the defending champion at the U.S. Open, who, of course, knocked off Novak Novak Djokovic at Wimbledon just this past month in July. I guess now it's September, so 2 months ago in July, but it was Djokovic getting the better of Alcaraz on the clay back at Roland Garros in the 2023 French Open. That was a semi-final match. That seems as though where we are positioned. And of course, the RS last year, it was Francis Tiafoe making that magical run to a semi-final match against Carlos Alcaraz, going deeper in a U.S. Open than any American man had in a very long time. Now he faces off against another American, the young 20-year-old lefty, Ben Shelton, who has a serve DRS as good as you will find. Over the weekend, a 147-mile-per-hour ace. I'm not standing back there to wear that one on the chest.
By the way, you know what's interesting, too, Ben, about this is the you know, Team USA camaraderie. Even though it's not a team, they're individuals out there. You take a look at Ben Shelton said at his press conference, like, you know what? They ask me all the time, who's the next one to take center stage for USA? And basically, they're all rooting for each other. Even Coco Gauff brought that up, saying the camaraderie behind the scenes is we're pulling for each other here. And again, the world's biggest stage in New York on the hard court here. And how about this? The temperatures are rising this week in New York City. Maybe those younger legs can help out the U.S. guys.
It's a really good point, DRS. This is normally where we would welcome in the radio audience. I think we're supposed to do that at the 2 minute mark now in this new clock. So hello, where radio audience. Welcome here to the early line, the newly revamped TEL DRS. Still in the mix, I am Ben Stevens, Sirius XM channel 159. All of our radio terrestrial affiliates now in the fold as well. Again, the early line here on this Tuesday following the long holiday weekend. That was Labor Day. Quickly here, DRS, we showed you the marquee matchups in the quarterfinal action on this Tuesday at the 2023 U.S. Open. Will Coco Gauff continue the summer of Coco? Plus 260 right now. The second best price to win the United States Open title on the women's side after the pre-tournament favorite Iga Swiatek was knocked off. Gauff, nearly a $3 favorite in her match today against Jelena Ostapenko, who is the underdog. Carolina Muhova is the favorite in her other quarterfinal match. So that's where things stand in tennis, DRS. It was interesting. I don't know if on early Saturday morning, DRS, you were watching the 2023 FIBA World Cup. I was with my good friend Kevin Walsh. I guess that was Sunday morning, in fact. USA, though, falling to Lithuania in a matchup after pool play. And DRS, I thought, oh, man, the Americans eliminated from the FIBA World Cup? A disastrous showing? No, they're playing Italy today in the quarterfinal round, now where medals will be decided, and we are playing elimination games. Team USA, by the way, up by 10 against Italy after the first quarter. The game started at 8:30 a.m. Eastern time here stateside. They were a 16.5-point favorite.
I guess they put another coin in the pinball machine, Ben. Just got another ball here. Say, hey, you know, let's play. I did the actual same thing at the bar because I can't believe they lost to Lithuania. Boy, that's a tough loss. Then I see odds for the next game. Like, I don't know about these rules, but if I'm Team USA, I like these rules.
DRS, I went to social media expecting it to be the huge calamity that was an American disaster at the 2023 FIBA World Cup, especially following all the world champion conversation that we had with NBA superstars in the past
betting
week.
Above the rim,
I'm like, all right,
shambles.
Here we go. I'm ready for the drama. I'm ready for everything to be in shambles. No. Team USA up by 10 as the second quarter now underway. A live favorite of 18.5 points. You getting ready for football season? It starts in 48 hours. We preview the NFL slate next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It is a Tuesday on the early line, live right here on Sports Grid and Sirius XM channel 159. It's the new TEL, but Donnie Wrightside remains. I am Ben Stevens. I am now in the mix. Don't worry, Kevin Walsh coming your way later on Game Time Decisions, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Gabe Morenci, Sport Rage Late Night at 10 p.m. Eastern. DRS, for us, it's a new beginning. It's a new start to the 2023 National Football League season on Thursday night as well. We are 48 hours, only 2 days away, DRS, from the start of the NFL season in 2023. We had to break out the big guns. We had to move the schedule around to combine forces here on these morning shows to get everybody set for the 2023 National Football League campaign, DRS. Football season is upon us.
I'll tell you, you get lulled to sleep by that Labor Day weekend because you're already back on a Tuesday realizing that Thursday night is football, and away you go into week one starting on Sunday, and then an awesome game on Monday Night Football. The NFL doesn't miss, and I'm here for it. It feels like we waited a long time, but now we're in that sprint right up here to the finish line on Thursday night.
DRS, my taste satiated, I should say, by college football, but now that all football is back, football is truly here. Again, the Thursday night debut to the 2023 NFL season at the home of the reigning Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs, the favorites in the AFC West, taking on the Detroit Lions, the favorites in the NFC North. DRS will look at the other favorites around the three other divisions in the NFC here over this next hour. Our second of three, we bring you up until 11 a.m. Eastern here on the Early Line. Let's start in the NFC South, where DRS, last year the Tampa Bay Buccaneers won the divisional crown for a second consecutive season, but did so with a losing record of 8-9. Some of that expectation enters this year, DRS. Maybe we don't feel so fondly about all four of these teams, but somebody's got to win the divisional crown. Currently, it's the New Orleans Saints as the favorites, plus 130, but less than a dollar in front of the Falcons, a plus 210 price on Atlanta. Bryce Young, the number one overall pick, will lead the Carolina Panthers in a 2023, plus 360. In the Buccaneers, DRS, a 6.5 win total that we'll look at in just a little bit, the longest of four prices at plus 750. DRS, how do you evaluate the odds in the NFC South?
I think they're appropriate here because if we try to dissect these four teams and just take a look at what we expect in 2023, you take a look at the Saints at that plus 130 price. To me, clearly the favorite in this division, a team that's going for it. Now, when I say going for it, Ben, that doesn't mean they're going to win the NFC and the Super Bowl. I just look at this team as poised to be the victors in the NFC South. Let's take a look at the other two teams quickly here, which are on the come up, right? The Atlanta Falcons, Desmond Ritter, young quarterback, young draft pick in Bijan Robinson, quality wide receiver from USC you drafted just a year ago in Drake May, and then also Pitts out of Florida. I like the direction of that team. The Carolina Panthers, I love Frank Reich as a head coach. You drafted your franchise guy. There's going to be a maturation process that comes along with that. And then there's the Bucks, who basically said last year we were under 500, lost Tom Brady. Let's run it back, but let's get a quarterback that probably won't last more than 3 to 4 weeks. And on to Kyle Trask we go. That's how I sum up here the NFC South so far, Ben.
I would agree with you, DRS. It is a competitive division, but maybe competitive in the race for 9 wins. Could a winning record win you this divisional crown this year? Because 9.5, DRS, is that win total of New Orleans, and yet the under has the juice. We know the defense is going to be good. A top 10 unit, both scoring and total defense in the last 2 years under Dennis Allen. It's year number two as the head coach, but he was the DC under Sean Payton for the 6 years prior to last year in 2022, taking over the reins as the head man. So 9.5, DRS, the win total for the Saints, it seems like, as the divisional favorites, if they get to 9 or 10 wins, they might take the divisional title.
They will. They're going to get the double-digit wins this year. Also, a combination of, and again, I know we like to play this game in the offseason. Everybody does it, including myself. But the schedule looks like maybe the easiest in the NFL overall, just on a game-to-game basis. But that also means you still have to perform at your highest. This isn't the Kansas City Chiefs ready to win a Super Bowl. This is the Saints trying to find their way to a division championship and maybe make the playoffs. They're going to have games where you scratch your head. And also, there is a reason why Derek Carr is on the Saints, because he didn't play all-world football for all of his years in Las Vegas slash Oakland. There are going to be some learning curves to go over, but I do think they upgraded a quarterback. Olave is going to be a superstar right out of the gate. The question here, here's the wild card. If Michael Thomas, who his body's continued said has let him down, and we've seen it over the past couple of years with how many surgeries he needed on his ankle alone, if he can get back to be somewhat of the player he was before the injuries, that gives you a formidable punch here. And then Alvin Kamara coming back, and Williams should be able to hold down the fort until he does come back, and that should be a pretty good 1-2 punch. The sky is the limit in the NFC South for the Saints. For me, they will win double-digit games in 2023.
I would agree, DRS. I have already bet New Orleans to win the NFC South. Maybe I'm more of a believer in Derek Carr than most, but I think there's a lot of tools around him. The guy we had on the graphic alongside the Saints odds outlook for 2023, Alvin Kamara, of course, will miss the opening three games of this year, suspended for violations of the NFL's personal conduct policy, but he will be back. Last year's leading rusher in terms of touchdowns scored in the NFL, Jamal Williams, now with the Saints, came over from the Lions, and I love what Chris Olave is going to bring to that passing attack for the Saints. Again, the Saints have ranked in the top 10 in scoring defense each of the last 3 years. I feel pretty confident about that side of the football, and I believe in Derek Carr. But DRS, there's many out there. It doesn't sound like you nor I who are pretty confident in the Atlanta Falcons being that team to take the NFC South. Plus 210. For the Dirty Birds, a win total of 8.5 for Atlanta. So much optimism offensively. Bijan Robinson, Drake London, Kyle Pitts. My question's DRS with the guy distributing the football in Desmond Ridder.
That's the question mark here, right? Did you find your franchise guy? Do you trust your franchise guy? And is Arthur Smith going to put him in the right positions to succeed? Which means he has a ton of weapons. There's no reason why he shouldn't be able to succeed. And also a little bit of what I took out of the New Orleans Saints as well is the schedules are easy because they all continue to play each other in the NFC South.
Right.
That's why you take a look at the Falcons and say, hey, you know what? This is a manageable schedule because based on what their win total is, it actually doesn't match the team for me. But then again, when you see who they actually play, you say, yes, that makes sense. Again, it's the reason why I say the Saints are going to win double-digit games, but probably not do a lot of damage in the playoffs because that competition is going to elevate once you do get there. But also, we have to remember, when you do win the NFC South, whatever team it is, Ben, you get a home playoff game by default. And if it is New Orleans, that's a massive home field advantage that you're going to get. But I am intrigued by the Atlanta Falcons because if you're looking for a team that could be next in this division behind the Saints, it would be them. If Ridder, who played a lot of college football snaps, not one of those guys, Ben, that played 7 or 8 games his senior year, and oh my goodness, look at the talent. This guy's been there, done that, married with the kid. He's, you know, basically a 5-year veteran, as it feels like. He's got all the weapons he needs to succeed. If there's one team that should be able to overtake the Saints, for me, it would be the Falcons.
He did start, did Desmond Ridder, the final 4 games of last year in 2022, replacing Marcus Mariota. He was a 3rd-round draft pick just a season ago in 2022. He is now going to be that future at the quarterback position. Taylor Heinicke backs him up in Atlanta if things go haywire for Desmond Ridder. DRS, I'm glad you brought up those conference prices for these teams from the NFC South. New Orleans, 17-1. It's the 7th best number. Atlanta, 22-1. Tied for the 9th best price in the NFC. But don't forget, if you win a division, you automatically host a playoff game come the middle of January. The Falcons also, DRS, open up 2023 this upcoming Sunday at home as a 3.5-point favorite in a divisional game against the Carolina Panthers and Bryce Young. We'll roll over some of our NFC South conversation, DRS, into this next segment. What do you think the Panthers might be able to do this year with the number one overall pick?
I just hope that the quarterback takes steps where, you know, at the end of the year, we have our guy. You don't want those question marks to linger in the year number two, Ben.
We will see what Bryce Young does. A little bit shaky in the first 2 preseason games for Carolina. Better in their finale. But the regular season is on the horizon. We continue our divisional previews in the NFC next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We'll be right back. We continue our divisional previews around the National Football League live right here on this Tuesday on the Early Line. I am Ben Stevens. He is Donnie Wrightside. DRS only 2 days away from the start of the 2023 NFL regular season. We're looking at the NFC South currently. The Saints, the favorites. The Atlanta Falcons, that second best number, only 80 cents back of New Orleans. What is the outlook, though, DRS, for the Panthers? Carolina and Atlanta open the season against one another on Sunday in the ATL. The Falcons, a 3.5-point favorite. DRS, I'm fascinated by the Panthers. Outside of the Saints, who I've picked to win the division, I think they're the team that controls the fate of the NFC South more than most. The defense was pretty good. This was a team last year under Steve Wilks that showed a ton of resilience under the interim head coach after Matt Rhule was fired following week number 5. Frank Reich enters as the head coach this year, who had a winning record in 4.5 years in Indianapolis. They draft Bryce Young, number 1 overall. They fill out the offense around him. DJ Chark, Adam Thielen, Miles Sanders, depending on health. They have built up this team in Carolina, add in Hayden Hurst as the tight end. DRS, what is your outlook for the Panthers this year, a team with a win total of 7.5?
Yeah, but this is one of the teams I can't really get a feel on, Ben, because when I take a look at a rookie quarterback, I'm not one to really bet on them to win me money. The same thing we'll probably talk about a little bit later with the Houston Texans, where your only goal this year for the Carolina Panthers and Frank Reich is to make sure you got your guy at quarterback. And if you do, then you can start to attack free agency and the draft in different ways, knowing you don't have to worry about if the bottom falls out on your quarterback. I do think they have weapons. Young wide receiver in Mingo. You got a veteran coming over in Adam Thielen, and also DJ Chark Jr. Hurst is a nice addition. Also, it's remind ourselves, they got Miles Sanders from the Philadelphia Eagles, so they do have a nice complement of weapons around their young superstar, what they think is going to be a superstar quarterback. The defense is talented. They have a nice pass rush. They have athletic linebackers, a couple guys like Warren at the quarterback position that can make some plays, and they're young. Yep. I just don't know what to anticipate, because if we get average quarterback play out of Young, that might be good enough for 6 to 7 wins. If we get above average, now you might be looking at winning the division, but there's also that chance where, hey, the young kid's going to make a lot of mistakes. Let him learn through it, and that's probably going to be the detriment. If I'm looking at a team to overtake, I put the Atlanta Falcons slightly ahead of the Panthers here in that race to go up against the Saints. I'm not down on the Panthers, man. I just don't have a great feel for them.
Right. Normally not expectation, DRS, for the guy that was drafted first overall, who was named the week one starter during OTAs in the early summer. But it's different for Bryce Young, because Carolina was not originally slotted, of course, to draft first overall, trading with the Bears for that first overall selection and taking Bryce Young. And they play in a division that should allow for some victories. DRS, you made mention of this earlier, based on our good pal Warren Sharp, who's the lead NFL analyst for Sports Grid, his win total projections and what that means for strength of schedule. The Falcons have the easiest schedule. The Saints have the second easiest schedule. The Panthers have the fifth easiest schedule in the NFL in 2023. A good bit of that has to do with the fact they all play in the same division, and not much is expected of the NFC South. Just something to keep in mind. Quickly here, DRS, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the divisional champions a year ago with Tom Brady, no longer have Tom Brady. Baker Mayfield has been named the starter for the Bucs week number 1. They're nearly a touchdown underdog on the road in the Twin Cities against the Vikings. A win total of 6.5, DRS, for Tampa. The under has the juice at minus 142. Alongside the Texans, it's the second lowest win total in all of the National Football League. The Buccaneers have a plus 850 price to have the worst record this year in 2023. It's the second shortest number, only behind the Cardinals. DRS, do you anticipate things being that bad for Tampa Bay this season?
Here's the interesting part about the Buccaneers to me. Talent-wise, they might be the most talented overall team in the division, is how crazy that sounds, where they're predicted to come in last place. And you're talking about a brand-new quarterback coming over from New Orleans. We'll see how that meshes. You're taking a look at a young quarterback in Ridder there with the Atlanta Falcons, a first-year quarterback and a rookie here for the Carolina Panthers, and then you have Baker Mayfield. I think things actually would go a little bit differently if you went to Baker Mayfield and said, you're going to be the franchise guy, which means a multi-year deal where you're not going to have any pressure pressure. You're not going to be fighting for anybody. You will be our starting quarterback, because I think he might be able to settle in. But we know Baker Mayfield is going to make fantastic plays, and then he's going to make plays that are rushed and forced, which always gets him into trouble. Yeah. And the problem here with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Ben, from my side of the story, is if you let Baker Mayfield go out there and play, he's going to know over the first 5 or 6 weeks, I got to solidify myself here as the starting quarterback, because Kyle Trask was right on my heels when we were in training camp. But we know how this is going to play out. You're not going to get any time. Baker Mayfield is not going to be allowed to go 1-4 and work through his struggle.
No.
Trask will be the starter, and quite frankly, Baker Mayfield is not a backup. I would look, if Baker Mayfield goes down in the first 4 to 5 weeks as no longer being the starting quarterback, they would just outright release him, because that's not the type of play. And that's not saying like he can't be a team guy. He presents himself as a starting quarterback. He's going to try to earn it, but I just don't know if he's going to be able to do that. There's a very short leash down there, which could end in disaster for Tampa Bay this year.
And again, correlated to the win total, it's one of the best things about the odds, in my estimation, for the NFL. You can paint a path that makes a ton of sense. If Tampa is expected to struggle, 6.5, the under minus 142, again, tied for the second lowest win total in the National Football League, they're not really going to have Baker Mayfield as their starter for the guy to lead them to the playoffs, which only means you want to see what the young Kyle Trask can do. You invested a second-round pick on Trask in the 2021 NFL draft to maybe be the heir apparent when Tom Brady's days were done in Tampa Bay. And if you want to see if he can be the guy, DRS, before you might pick in the top five of the 2024 NFL draft, then you make that move early. Here's my two thoughts on Tampa Bay entering this season. Kyle Trask will be the starter at the end of the year, and Todd Bowles might not be the coach at the end of 2023. All right, DRS, now to the NFC West. The San Francisco 49ers, an odds-on favorite, minus 165. DRS, for the 49ers this year, that minus 165 number is the second best price of any team to win any of the eight divisions in the National Football League, only behind the Chiefs. In the AFC West, it's a minus 180 number on KC. DRS, should the price be that strong on San Francisco, and should there be that wide of a gap for the top spot?
Yeah, it really should be there, because you're banking on what do you expect out of the 49ers. Well, if Purdy comes back and is healthy, which apparently he is, that was the missing piece where maybe they even won a Super Bowl last year. But still, he was a rookie quarterback last year, didn't get much work in the offseason due to that elbow injury. And now it's just assumed to play unbelievably good football like he did over the final 8-9 weeks of the season before getting injured against the Philadelphia Eagles in the NFC Championship game. But having said that, I do think if we're looking at that division, there really is only one team that's going to factor in outside of the 49ers. And that's the Seahawks. I'm looking at bad things for the Rams, we'll get into, and also for the Cardinals. But for the Seahawks, a nice complement of wide receivers, a quarterback that you paid some money to, had a breakout year last year. Pete Carroll is a veteran guy. He's won Super Bowls. He's taken his team over the hump many times here. If there's one team to catch the Niners, it will be the Seahawks, but I can't fault the minus 165. Kyle Shanahan's probably my favorite coach in the NFL. If you do get quality, I'm not even talking about MVP slash, you know, make a Pro Bowl or be an All-Pro. Quality player to the quarterback position, the Niners will be a force this year for sure.
Deserve it or not, for Brock Purdy, the quarterback narrative is going to follow him all year long because of what his organization did in the draft before his. In 2021, trading up for Trey Lance, sending 3 first-round draft picks to Miami for that 3rd overall pick, only to ship Lance, of course, a few weeks ago to Dallas. Did San Francisco make the right decision? It will follow Mr. Relevant, as we call him now, Brock Purdy. That is my main concern. DRS, I had quarterback questions for the Niners last year when it was Trey Lance's show. Who am I to question Kyle Shanahan? They have made the NFC title game 3 of the previous 4 NFL seasons. DRS, you mentioned the only team you expect to factor into that postseason race in the NFC from the NFC West being the Seattle Seahawks, a playoff team a year ago that got hammered by the Niners in the wild card weekend last January. Do you think Seattle, under Geno Smith, is a playoff team once again?
I do think they're a playoff team. Actually, because you get Wagner back there as the quarterback of the defense, and the one thing that the Seattle squad was lacking, which much like San Francisco doesn't lack, was on the defensive side of the football. That's going to help them. I think they have a decent secondary. You have Wagner back, but also the focal point's going to be on the offense. They have a plethora of running backs here, quality wide receivers. You already had Metcalf and Lockett, and now you get Smith and Jigba out of Ohio State, where if he did play his senior year, his junior year in college football, you might be looking at a completely different. Whoa, coming in to set the world on fire. I got high hopes for Seattle. Do I think they win the Super Bowl? Not necessarily, but a legitimate chance to overtake the 49ers? Absolutely.
Tariq Woolen, really good last year in his rookie year out of UTSA for Seattle. Devin Witherspoon out of Illinois, one of the best cornerbacks in all of college football a season ago, was that fifth overall pick for Seattle this year. The defense should be even more solidified. 8.5 the win total for the Seahawks. The over has the juice. DRS, unlike the AFC, if you can be a 9-win football team in the NFC this year, there's a good chance you're going to make the postseason. At least that's what the odds say. The Seattle right now, favored to be a playoff team, minus 122. DRS, we need to spend some time on the Los Angeles Rams, the Super Bowl champions just 2 years ago. How quickly we forget. In 2021, the Rams stood atop the football universe, winning a Lombardi Trophy inside their own home stadium. But 2022 was the worst Super Bowl hangover we have ever seen in the history of the National Football League. And I mean that. I know we now play 17 games, the regular season extended, but no team, DRS, in their encore performance to a Super Bowl championship have ever lost more games than that of Sean McVay and Los Angeles. A 12-loss season, a 5-12 record, and based on the odds, DRS, not expected to be much better in 2023. We'll break down the Rams and then the worst team in football. I said it. The Arizona Cardinals up next here on the Yearly Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line, live right here on Sports Grid and Sirius XM Channel 159. Only 2 days away from the start of the 2023 National Football League regular season. Then on Sunday, 5 days out, the first full Sunday slate of the year. 6 days away from a Monday nightcap in MetLife between the Jets and the Bills. DRS, football is here. The 2023 National Football League season just about to get going. We're looking at divisions right now in the NFC with a focus on the NFC West, where 2 years ago, DRS, the champions in the NFL, the Los Angeles Rams, a Lombardi Trophy inside their own home stadium in SoFi. Last year, the worst Super Bowl hangover we've ever seen. The most losses for a reigning Super Bowl champ in the history of the NFL, 12 in total, a 5-12 mark in LA. Health was a huge component. Matthew Stafford banged up early. Cooper Kupp banged up early. Now, a ton of losses on the defensive side of the football from that Super Bowl run just 2 years back. Von Miller, no longer there. Leonard Floyd, no longer there. Both talented edge rushers in Buffalo. Jalen Ramsey, no longer there either, DRS. He's playing for the Miami Dolphins. He'll miss a little bit of the opening of this year in the 2023 NFL regular season. So, DRS, when you look at the Rams this year, 6.5 the win total. The under has the pretty hefty juice. It's one of the five lowest win totals in the National Football League. Do you think 2023, DRS, resembles more of 2021 or more of 2022?
No, this is going to be really bad. I mean, we just talked about a team on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which by week 4 or 5 can automatically backfire on them. I'm looking at the same thing here on the Los Angeles Rams. Quite frankly, I think Stetson Bennett probably week 7 or week 8 will be the starting quarterback for the Rams. And that's not because Matthew Stafford was playing poorly. I just don't even know if he's going to hold up at this point. Let's take a look at the Rams entering into the season, right? When they won the Super Bowl, nobody can ever fault them. If you trade away your picks, you extend your salary cap, you go all in and you win, who cares what happens over the next 5 years if you're a general manager, to be quite honest. You did your job. You're supposed to win Super Bowls in the NFL, not just be competitive with the hopes of every couple years you might make a run. They made the run and they cashed in. Last year was a disaster. Now they start trading some of their better players like Jalen Ramsey and trying to refill those draft picks. You look at the defense, it's a shell of what it was to win the Super Bowl. It's basically Aaron Donald and a bunch of nobodies, it feels like. Now you flip it over to the offensive side of the ball. Same thing here. You used to look at that wide receiving core and say, man, you got a lot of weapons on it. Now it's turned into into Cooper Kupp, and we'll probably talk about him over the next couple of minutes. We don't even know if he's going to start the season, and quite frankly, why would you rush him back? And let's also get on top of maybe the elephant in the room, Matthew Stafford, who, again, he's not 45 years old like myself. He's in his mid to early 30s there and still supposed to be in his prime going, hey, hun, I can't even have conversations with these kids. I don't even relate to them. How is that going to start the season out? What a disaster it looks like they're setting up for the Rams here, Ben.
What a weird thing for Kelly Stafford to reveal, by the way, the wife of Matthew, on a podcast that Matthew Stafford is struggling to what is the name of this podcast? You know?
You're not going to believe what the name of that podcast was. The Morning After.
No way.
100%
At least the
truth.
Morning After continues
100%
on.
100% truth. Yep.
Listen, a lot hotter takes on that The Morning After than the old The Morning After, of which I used to host, and DRS would appear each and every Monday. But now we combine the two morning shows here on the Spiz Grizz Network. It's The Early Line here on this Tuesday. But DRS, what a wild thing. And really, I'm more concerned about Matthew Stafford's health than I am about him connecting to his young teammates and those wide receivers in the room. He only played 7 or 8 games a season ago because of nerve issues in his spinal cord. That's as scary as it comes as you deal with football-related injuries. It's not a bum ankle or the elbow that gave him issues last offseason. It's something that is very, very concerning for his overall health and well-being and how long he can keep going in the National Football League. And Cooper Kupp, DRS, like you mentioned, his week one opener status is very much up in the air. They are a 5.5-point favorite, are the Rams, against the Seahawks to open up this year in the Pacific Northwest in Seattle. And as of yesterday, Cooper Kupp was in Minneapolis meeting with specialists because a hamstring injury that he suffered on the very first day of August that has kept him sidelined throughout camp and preseason, DRS, is more significant than they once believed it to be. They're not sure he's going to be there, but right now, DRS, 5 days away from the opener, you would have to say Cooper Kupp's status is very uncertain for that opening game.
Yeah, I'll make it easy. He's not playing this Sunday. There's no shot he has a chance of that. He gets injured to start the training camp, then has another injury and a setback, and they put the day-to-day term on him. He's not going to be day-to-day. If he's in another state here trying to get answers on his hamstring, that's disastrous because it means, number one, the hamstring is still ailing, and number two, there's a high probability when he does come back, he's just going to re-injure that. And number three, if the Rams aren't going to be in all the way through, what are you actually going to do with Cooper Kupp here in 2023? Just run him out there? Does he have any trade value? Are you looking to make the playoffs? Because I don't think you're even going to have a chance at making the playoffs. This is a terrible situation because the one hope that you would have had on offense to maybe be a difference maker looks like he's probably not going to get to the starting gate. And when he does, Ben, he's going to be damaged goods.
Listen, DRS, I was optimistic about the Rams when the win totals came out back in the middle of March. One of the first bets I made over 6.5 wins with some plus money for Los Angeles. But that was before they traded Leonard Floyd. That was before all these weird reports and injury concerns entering the season. The ticket's still alive, but I can't say I feel all that great about it for 2023 and Los Angeles. All right, DRS, the final team in the NFC West. Let's keep this conversation pretty short unless you feel otherwise. Are the Cardinals going to be the worst team in the National Football League in 2023, DRS? I say yes.
Some teams by default, Ben, just don't have good rosters, but they're trying. This is one of those few teams that is coming into the 2023 regular season actively hoping to lose every single game they play from their coach. Look, the coaching staff just comes over. They don't actually want to lose or are trying to. But if you don't have good enough players, and also the end goal is to get the highest draft picks you can and also building for the future, there's no point in the Arizona Cardinals winning more than 3 games this year. And quite frankly, if they're, let's just say, by week 10 or 11 with 3 wins, you going to see ultimate tank mode going down the stretch. They're going to be non-competitive a lot of weeks, but again, their focus is on the future, not in 2023. How can you bet them on any of the overs knowing that they actually don't want to win games?
DRS, they are the only team, is Arizona, with a win total at 5.5 or less out of the 32 NFL teams entering this season. And it's 4.5, and the under has the juice. Join me here. Alternate win total unders, either at 3.5 with some plus money at plus 120, or maybe even 2.5 at plus 250. All right, DRS, now to your neck of the woods down there outside of Philadelphia. The NFC East divisional odds. The Birds, the reigning NFC East East and NFC champions are the favorites to win the division once again, minus 115. But DRS, it has been documented. We will say it here. A weird trend that happens in the NFC East now for the greater part of the last two decades. Since 2004, we have not seen a repeat divisional champion go back-to-back in the NFC East. And Philadelphia DRS, despite being the favorites, won this divisional crown a year ago. Will that weird trend, DRS, in the NFC East continue this season?
It might, because the Eagles' schedule is a bear this year heading into it. They're only a minus 115, but by far, to me, the most talented team in the division. But again, you played the most amount of football you can last year outside of Kansas City, who you met in the Super Bowl. There usually are lulls here, and you're right. It's been a long time since you had a repeat winner. I think it was the 01, 02, 03, and 04 Philadelphia Eagles that had got that done. And since then, nobody's actually gone back-to-back. The Dallas Cowboys, they're going to be a quality opponent. The New York Giants, they're going to be a competent opponent. There's a little bit of a wild card there in the Commanders. But if you're asking me today at a minus 115 price to take the Philadelphia Eagles to win the division, I probably would still go that route. But also, if the Eagles do make it into the playoffs, a one-off against anybody, if the Eagles are healthy, that's going to be a tough hill to climb for that home team in the playoffs that's going to face them as a wild card team. I do think the Eagles have pretty good season, but I agree that minus 115 price does look light, but it's there for a reason. They got a tough season.
Certainly so. Plus 330 DRS, the price for Philadelphia to win the NFC championship. They are the favorites right now, the defending champs in the NFC. DRS, for me, I feel the most confident by a good margin in Philadelphia as the best team in the NFC at this moment. Do you believe the Eagles are the best team in the NFC?
I actually do, which is kind of say, well, Donnie, if they're the best team in the NFC, why aren't you just taking them to blow out the NFC East? If you heard what I said there, there might be some touch and goes in other teams that might have better records when it's all said and done. But if the Philadelphia Eagles are healthy, and again, you have to ask that question with every team, but let's just say a semblance of they weren't devastated by injury, they're going to be a tough out in the playoffs. And I do agree that they are the best overall team in the NFC. And boy, oh boy, if they finish with the best record in the NFC after what that schedule looks like, watch out, they'll probably end up winning the Super Bowl this year.
8-1 is the number for the Eagles to have the best regular season record in all of the NFL, the third best price only behind the Chiefs and the Cincinnati Bengals. DRS, elsewhere, one of the reasons the NFC East has been so difficult to handicap from a divisional title winner the last couple of years is because you have teams like the Cowboys who have won 12 games each of the past 2 years. A divisional crown in 2021, still 12 wins a season ago, DRS, keeping pace with the Birds, despite Philadelphia winning 14 regular season games. So, DRS, as you look at the Cowboys entering 2023, 12 wins each of the past two NFL seasons, is that where you expect Dallas to be this upcoming year?
Look, Dallas is going to press the Philadelphia Eagles for supremacy in the NFC East. There's no question about that. The talent is there. That's a really good secondary from last year that adds Stephon Gilmore this year. That's Micah Parsons, who looks like he's going to become invincible over the next couple years and absolutely like a Lawrence Taylor-esque pass rusher. You take a look at the offense. Here's the question marks. Not with the talent, Ben. Lamb, Gallup, and Cooks at wide receiver, they'll be fine. Pollard in the backfield, one of my favorite running backs in the NFL, if he can stay healthy. Dak Prescott, we'll see what we get, but also, let's keep in mind, this offense was very fluid under Kellen Moore, who's no longer there, and now Mike McCarthy takes the reins here. Could that be the downfall of the Dallas Cowboys? Not on the field, but the actual coach calling in the plays and setting the tone.
The sixth best scoring defense in the National Football League a year ago, and Dan Quinn remains at the star, only allowed 19.7 points per game to their opposition. I actually, DRS, have more faith in Dallas's D than that of the offense because of that Mike McCarthy. Regardless of all the offensive talent that Dallas has, and Zach Martin is signed, he is happy, one of the best guards in the National Football League, should anchor that offensive line for Big D. The New York Giants, DRS, a team that entered last year with a win total of 7.5 with a rookie head coach in Brian Daboll. They win 9 games. They make it to the postseason. They win a playoff game on the road against the Vikings. That rookie head coach in Brian Daboll is named NFL Coach of the Year. So, DRS, the win total for the Giants this year has to be 8.5, 9.5. They're a shoe-in to make the playoffs, right? Nope. The win total, 7.5. The under has the juice. The Giants plus money to see the postseason. Why is there regression expected, DRS, for New York this year?
schedule. They're actually a better team, Ben, than they are last year talent-wise on the field, and another year under the regime, as you said, of Brian Daboll, and also Daniel Jones at quarterback. He should at least, I have to have him to go over 17.5 touchdown passes this year, which, what a floor for a $40-plus million-a-year quarterback.
Yeah.
I also think Saquon Barkley's going to have a year. Waller's going to open up so many things over the middle and on the outsides for the wide receivers. I actually am optimistic about the Giants. They might not actually have as good a year record-wise as it did last year, but I do like where they're going in the future. As long as Daniel Jones can be competent, they should be able to hit that win total and get 8 wins this year.
The $40 million man, Daniel Jones. The Washington Commanders, by the way, the longest price in the NFC East. A win total for Washington at 6.5, and the under has the juice. We end out this second hour by hearing from you and Fade the Public up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Closing out this second hour, now of three, on the early line. Live right here on Sports Grid and Sirius XM Channel 159. I am Ben Stevens. He is Donnie Wrightside. And this is the new Sports Grid app, the ultimate sports betting companion app, now available for download at the Apple and Play stores. If you text in green, like DRS, or you text in blue, like me, because I have an iPhone and DRS and Android, it does not matter. Scan the QR code on your screen, and that new Sports Grid app downloads immediately to your phone in a matter of moments. All of our insight and information in the palm of your hand. DRS, we are combining these two morning shows here, right? So we'll take a little bit of the early line. We'll take a little bit of the morning after. We bring it all together. So for the first time, I believe, in the history of TEL, it's time to hear from everybody out there and Fade the Public. DRS, the question at Sports Grid TV on Twitter: which weekend college football upset was more impressive? Was it Colorado in the debut of Deion Sanders knocking off TCU in Fort Worth as a 20.5 point underdog? Was it a slight upset of Florida State knocking off LSU? Or was it last night Duke pulling the upset at home over Clemson as a 12.5 point underdog? Most of the public, DRS, going with Duke over ninth ranked Clemson, about 55%. Look at that, DRS. I'm throwing a punch. You're smiling, looking good, DRS.
Yeah.
Are you fading the public and their results here?
By the way, three things real quick. I have no idea what texting in these different colors means. Number two, I was staring into the sun the entire time on that photo shoot there. Number three, the public is wrong here. Yeah. It's Colorado over TCU. That is the upset. That is the one there.
DRS, based on the odds, I would agree. The Buffs were a 20.5 point dog on the road. Duke was only a 12.5 point underdog at home, but they do dominate 28-7. DRS, a Fade the Public poll, man. It looks good. All right, we're back on the early line for hour number three in only 55 seconds. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.